Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we begin our long-awaited Prince countdown.
And we have a whole bunch of great human beings to help us discuss the songs.
And I have an extra special guest in my basement, Jim, who's so excited about Prince, he's literally rubbing his legs together in anticipation. He's the cricket.
That's a good one. All right, welcome everyone. We are gathered here today to talk about the music of Prince. And this is exciting, Patrick, because it's like a virtual event that we're doing. And the reason we're doing that is because the last time we did a countdown series on Rock in the Suburbs, I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
The last time we did a countdown series, we did it as a live event. It was like the last live event ever held in the United States of America. It was back in March. And we seriously, it was like so weird that we got this, we got booked at a club in Vienna, Virginia, and we did the thing, and then it was like the world shut down, like right after that.
We should have taken that more seriously as a sign than we did, I think.
Yeah, don't blame us. It's not our fault. But so anyway, we wanted to get back to doing another artist countdown week, and so we put the question out to our patrons, who would you like to... You know, who should we do next? Because in the past, we did the Beatles, we did Led Zeppelin, we did The Who, we did The Replacements. And then we asked people, who should we do next? And people said Prince. That's who they wanted us to do the countdown. So we're very excited about this.
Totally just barely edged out Wingtip Sloat. So good thing that Prince won. Yeah.
Yeah, just barely. So we're going to do this as a virtual event. We are on Zoom, and as of right now, as I'm speaking, we have 25 people, including you and me, and we'll see how this goes tonight. Maybe more people will join. More than likely, a lot of people will leave, but we'll see how it goes. And
Similar to any podcast that we do. Right. People that's leave right. halfway through.
That's right, but I see a lot of good people here, a lot of friends, a lot of listeners, and so on. And we have some special guests tonight. We'll get to that. And also, you're going to hear some music, and we're going to talk about Prince. It's going to be great. And before we get started, you know what? I have to crack open the ceremonial beer. Hang on.
Well, I'll tell everyone listening or viewing right now, you can see I'm drinking the 1985 IPA from New Belgium. I thought that was fitting, because 85 was a pretty decent year for Prince.
I saved this purple one
for
today. Can you guys see that on the camera there?
Yeah. Dirt Farm.
Yeah. It's from Dirt Farm, which is a local brewery here in Northern Virginia. And this is actually a red beer, but it's in a purple label. So I thought that would be fitting for tonight.
Cheers. The lamps are lit.
Now, here's what we're going to do, people. So, you guys are on the Zoom. I'm going to try to share screen. I tested this, and it did seem to work. All right, you all can see this. The PowerPoint?
Yeah, looks good.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Looks good.
Okay, so the first things first, we got to do a little bit of setup here. This is just like being back at the office. Please mute yourselves when you're not talking. We do encourage audience participation. We do want you to talk, especially when we hit upon one of your favorite songs. And at the end of the whole thing, we'll have you a chance to talk about songs that didn't make the top 15. So you're going to get chances to talk, and we encourage that. You know, I got to say, before we get going too far, the fact that there are crickets chirping in the background makes it seem like this is the worst podcast ever. Like, it's just like no one is responding at all. I think I may have made a mistake with that mute idea.
It's late summer.
It's infestation in the Patrick Foster house, right?
Perhaps.
Okay. Explain, Patrick, before we get to the first song in the countdown, how did the listener poll work?
So we had a poll that we opened up on our website. We encouraged anyone to go and give their top 10 Prince songs in no order. Some people did choose to order them, and also opened up a comments box. So if you wanted to leave memories or comments, and we got some really funny stories, and also some explanations of why people chose particular songs. So we may sprinkle that in here and there as we go through. Let's see, 92 different songs got votes, and that is really a testament to Prince's creativity and sprawling catalog. It's amazing, by far more than any of these countdowns that we've done. And I know he probably put out more records than you know the people we have already done a countdown for. But also, he had so many more ideas, I think, musically than almost anyone you could ever name. So that's reflected in our poll. And also, interestingly, we'll touch on this later, a bunch of people voted for cover songs. So, you know, songs that he wrote or gave to another artist that became more well-known, you know, than his version. And so that's another testament to the man's genius. And then Jim and I voted as well. And we were the editorial board that served to break any ties. And there were several ties, I believe, three or four, right, Jim, in the final polling.
Yeah.
And we, based on our votes and the way we thought this would flow, we didn't kick anything out. We just rearranged the order a tiny bit. Did not affect the top five, I do not believe.
That's where the superdelegates come in. And that's right. Us. So, and the other thing we want to say is this is going to be a top 15 countdown. The reason we do 15 is because we spread these out over a week of episodes. So we'll do three songs per episode. But we ask people for their top 10 list is how it worked. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we extrapolated 15. So, here we go. This is number 15.
She was a sex fiend. I met her in a hotel lobby, masturbating with a magazine. She said, how'd you like to waste some time? And I could not resist when I saw little Nikki grind. She took me to her castle, and I just couldn't believe my eyes. She had so many devices, everything that money could buy. She said, sign your name on a dotted line. The lights went out, and Nikki started to grind.
Nikki. All right, there you go, darling Nikki. Now, I'm sure you remember that well from your high school days, Patrick.
Quite well, yeah. I probably listened to this album about 800 times. No exaggeration. So, you know, definitely sets a mood, shall we say, for one side of Prince's work.
Yeah. So, interesting that this came in as the, you know, the first song that we would play, because it immediately speaks to the provocative nature of Prince's lyrics and what I think maybe attracted some people to his work early on, because he certainly, you know, was able to stoke some controversy, I guess, in terms of the nature of his lyrical content. And,
yeah,
you know, he didn't shy away from that. And I don't interesting about this song is, you know, Tipper Gore didn't like it very much.
Right. Tipper was not on board with this tune whatsoever.
But her 11-year-old daughter did like the song. Yes. And so that's this was one of the songs that back in the 80s, you know, caused, I don't know, congressional hearings and so on, and eventually labeling of albums and all of that. So for myself, when this came out in 1984, on the Purple Rain album, I was in high school, and I loved the whole album overall, but you know, I'm not gonna lie here, I mean, this was a song that, you know, you got a little bit of a thrill out of, for lack of a better word, right?
Definitely caught your attention. That's the right. First time around. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's an amazingly provocative song too, and I don't know if anyone here, you know, joining us on this countdown knows much about the backstory. I have definitely heard the record many, many times. I also don't know how closely or how, you know, soundtrack, you know, because obviously there was a movie, I think, that went along with this album, right? There was the movie Purple Rain. And, you know, I don't know if Prince wrote songs for specific scenes that may have been in the movie or would have been, or, you know, how it all ended up. I don't know, but I think it's very interesting. You know, later he did Under the Cherry Moon, which cinematically was not a very good film if anyone has sat through it, but definitely the music was amazing too. And so I don't know if anyone knows, I'd love to hear any insight.
Yeah. Was there anyone who wanted to make a comment on this song, or are you all kind of shy? We hit this too hard right out of the gate, I think.
Oh no, I'll jump right in.
Thank you, Ed.
All right, Ed Bowser, everyone.
Yes. So this song always makes me laugh because it is my wife's favorite song. Her full name is Nicole, and she grew up being called Nikki. So growing up, I mean, she had to be 5 or something when she first heard this song. She's like, oh, this is my favorite song. They're singing about me. And her family had to be like, be careful what we're saying. But that song is one that's always near and dear to our hearts over here in the Bowser headquarters.
The other thing I think we should talk about, Darling Nikki, is too, just like musically, like it's kind of a, how would you describe it, Patrick? It's got this like interesting sort of like low end, kind of this like kind of rock groove to it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You almost see a pole sprouting in your room while the, the song is playing. I mean, it's got a bump and grind to it. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I was going to add, it's good to sexy dance too.
Well, there you go.
Jody Gersh, everyone.
There you go. And, you know, Mackenzie put in the chat, hearing this song is one of my earliest memories. So as Ed was saying, I don't know what Prince was doing to children's minds.
This and Black Thing. Sweat. Those are the two songs I remember being in a car seat and hearing.
Oh, wow. Well, this is a whole new angle. We didn't anticipate Prince's impact on a certain age demographic when they were children.
Well,
but a massive, massive album, right, Jim? I mean, this thing was a blockbuster in a year where there were a lot of blockbusters, and it ended up being one of the most durable and amazing records from that time. It still sounds fresh. I haven't listened to it in a long time. Listened to many tracks this week, and
yeah,
they sound still as haunting and as gripping as they did then.
You might hear some other songs from this album in this countdown.
There's a chance.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a chance.
All right. Here's number 14. When You're a Mind from
Beautiful.
1980s Dirty Mind album. And this is one of my favorites. This is probably a top 5 Prince song for me. And I just love it because, number one, it's just like a great pop song. It's got that hook. Yeah. It's just got that great pop structure to it, everything.
Totally.
But it also sounds kind of new wave to me.
Without
right?
a doubt. Yeah. It's part of what I consider, you know, Prince's amazing genius in the 80s. He was able to assimilate a lot of different styles, and he showed you, if you were listening carefully, that he had a massive range of influence, right? This is like a little power pop new wave song. It could be on like you know, one of those Rhino DIY compilations or something like that. I mean, it's just drums and guitar and a little...
That synth, yeah.
Yeah, new wave synth. And yeah. I think because Cyndi Lauper covered it later and had a big hit with it, that just shows its, you know, its flexibility. But I think every now and then, Plinch would just flex his muscles and say, like, yeah, I can do that, you know, and he would do that, like, really well. And throughout his career, I think he's done that a lot.
What I did not know until today was this was not released as a single. Did you know that?
I did know that. Yeah. I learned that through reading and research, and it's kind of surprising, but I think obviously it was a bigger hit for Cyndi Lauper than it was for Prince. And I guess when you think about the context of this record that it comes from, it's kind of an outlier.
Yeah. Any comments from the audience on anyone out there fans of When You Were Mine?
Oh, man. You get so much cred from me for this one because this is one of my all-time favorites, and I did not expect it to make the list because, as you said, it was not a single. So it's one right. that doesn't really get brought up that much. The song reminds me of childhood because, for some reason, the composition, tell me if I'm wrong, it reminds me of like 60s surfers.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically... Yep. When I was a kid, I was really into the Batman TV show with Adam West. And there was an episode where he was surfing with the Joker. And I just always said, I wish they had this song for that episode when he's like surfing with the Joker. I can just picture it in my mind. Like, love this song. And I'm really, really glad that we got to see that today.
Man. I remember watching that show. I don't remember that episode, unfortunately, but I'm sure the special effects were great on that.
Oh, there was something. You want to see the Joker in full suit while he has swim trunks over the suit. Nice.
Probably dressed in purple, right?
There you go.
Well, you don't say. Yes.
All right. When Prince died in 2016, shortly after that, we interviewed Patrick on our old show. We interviewed John Worster, who is a drummer in a lot of different indie rock bands. And one of the bands is the Bob Mould Band, also.
Right.
Bob Mould, also out of Minnesota. And they happened to play in Minneapolis, like right after Prince's passing. And they covered this song. They covered When You Were Mine.
Oh,
so
very cool.
So yes, very cool. It fits. It's just, you know, like I said, it's a great pop song.
Just a note on that, this is BJ.
Yeah.
Bob Mould's star on the First Avenue wall is directly below Prince's.
Oh, wow.
Which is coincidental that Bob was there that night. And then second thing regarding this song, those backing vocals are just delicious. Yes. They're like a good dessert.
Yeah.
It's one of those songs where more people sing along to the backing vocals than to the actual melody. If you play it in a big group.
Yeah, when you're sort of singing along with it, you want to do that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, very cool. Thank you, BJ. Should we move on now? Number 13.
Yeah, let's do it.
There we go. I Would Die For You. This is the first song in the countdown that has the you know, trademark numbers and capital letters substituting for words, right?
Yep. Also, some classic sort of synthesizer hand claps that Prince used a lot, and his use of keyboards on this album, especially when you go back and listen to it, is pretty amazing. I mean, he's known as an incredible guitarist, you know. Maybe a better guitarist than Jimi Hendrix, and any American guitarist, right? Who played in kind of a rock style. Yet, when you listen to Purple Rain, guitar is only occasionally featured in just the right places, at least in my opinion. And I want to call on Bud Verge, who's here, because Bud brought up something really interesting, and this has been something we've been talking about a little bit, but, Bud and his wife Terry both voted in our poll, which we really appreciate. And I'll just quote from what Terry wrote. Terry said, "I'm making the argument that I Would Die for You / Baby I'm a Star is considered one song, as it runs together in the movie and is best listened to together." And Bud, you say, and you, in your comments, "I still get pissed when I only hear I Would Die for You and it doesn't mix into Baby I'm a Star." So it's one of those sonic blueprints on your brain, right?
I mean, very rarely when you listen to a satellite radio do they string the two together. And I've always listened to that album that it's, I don't even think there's a break in the CD or the LP where it stops for even a millisecond, because it goes right into the next song. And it starts that, and I Would Die for You. And I always am getting hyped for Baby I'm a Star because that is such a great song. It's like almost like a Sly Stone song for Prince. That I'm like, oh, how can they do this to me all the time? And like, very rarely. And I'm always like turning to Terry the car, like, are they going to play it this time? Are they going to play it this time? And very rarely do they do. But when they do it, like, instantly crank that up to like 11, and just like all the windows are down and we're all just singing along at the top of our lungs.
Yeah,
I think it's one song.
Well argued. I gotta agree with you after thinking about it too. I didn't really think about it, but then when you think about it in the movie, which is a very, you know, important part of that film, it's right there. Yeah, so well said, Bud. And I'll say too, as a note, kind of in context, the movie Purple Rain was made for $7.2 million. It made $71 million at the box office. That's how big of a hit it was. So, what a massive, return on investment that was.
Wow. So, if I could, at Paisley Park, there's a huge warehouse where they filmed a lot of that movie and some of his other movies. Like, Paisley Park also has a movie studio.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. That's really interesting.
Okay, so we're going to end it right here for today. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, the countdown continues. We recorded this all as one big event, but we're breaking it up for the podcast this week. So, you just got, you know, three songs today, but stick with us the rest of the week. You'll hear the rest of the countdown, right?
That's the way it works.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So, so do that, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hear the crickets. That's a good, that's like a sound check.